Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And welcome to Trolley Watch, New Idea Foods' very fabulous podcast. I am Amy Sinclair and I'm joined by Barbara Northwood, our cooking extraordinaire. Hello, Barb.
Hi, Amy.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Here with another, we've got our trolleys in our hands.
It's exciting, isn't it?
We've got lots of food to talk about, lots of tips to talk about. And I, of course, this week am going to be asking Barb 10 random questions, including one question that just might make her fall over.
Yeah.
With surprise. Barb, we're going to kick off like we always do. Best in aisle. This is where we take popular foods available at all the top supermarkets and we do a comparison, because you go into the supermarket, don't you, Barb, and there are so many things to choose from. You don't know what from
which
what.
Which is the good or the bad. Nope.
And they're popular items that people often buy and you want to know which is the best.
Because it's the best in aisle.
This week, this is a good one.
It's
my
really
good friend
one.
Michelle suggested that we do this one. Banana breads.
Yeah.
I am talking, now obviously you can make your own banana bread, but all the supermarkets do pre-made, pre-sliced and individually wrapped portions of banana slice, which is really good for lunches.
Yep.
Really good for on the go if you don't have time to make your own banana bread. And, you know, it can be really good. But it was very, very interesting, wasn't it, Barb?
Yeah, really interesting.
So we went across all the supermarkets. We tasted four different varieties from Aldi, Coles, Woolies and IGA.
They all looked different.
They really
totally
did.
Totally different.
You wouldn't have thought, like it was
– when
it,
you lined them up like
that. Yeah. They were very different in thickness. They were different in colour.
Yes.
And – to
and
be
certainly
honest,
taste.
Very, very different in taste. We were incredibly surprised. I think this was probably our most surprising
find
yeah. and best in aisle that we've done so far. So, Barb, let's get cracking. We started with the Aldi. This is the cake stall individually wrapped banana bread.
Yep.
Had 27% real banana. When we were going, it was $4 for 500 grams.
Mm.
When we started, I said to Barb, "What if I was going to make a banana bread at home, how much banana do you believe that it would be in it?" And you thought about a third, didn't you? More like sort of 33%.
Easy.
So these varieties all had, I think, between 25 and 27% banana. So we're talking about the Aldi. One, $4 individually wrapped. What did you think, Barb?
I thought it was a really good moist cake.
Yep.
A lovely dark colour.
Yep.
And I think you could actually see the bits of banana in it. You could actually see little flecks
of banana. You really
could,
couldn't you? They had like chunks in it.
Yeah. And they say it's got real banana in it, but you could actually see it.
You really could.
I like that one.
Yeah, that got a big tick.
Yes.
Next up, we tried the Coles banana bread. You get five banana bread slices individually wrapped, 26% banana, $5 for 500 grams, so a dollar more than Aldi, not hugely more expensive. When you looked at this one, though, Barb, wasn't it? They were a lot bigger. They were a taller slice and certainly a thicker slice, and looked a bit more.
It was pale in colour.
Very pale in colour. Yeah. Had more of like a cake top almost, wasn't it? Like, you know, a bit more impressive looking.
Yeah.
But what did you think of it, Barb?
I didn't think it had much flavour at all, to be honest. Plus, I thought it was a little bit salty.
Yeah.
But not a good banana flavour at all for
it was
banana
quite
cake.
Cakey, wasn't it? When you actually tasted it, you didn't actually pick up a lot of the banana, but it was very yummy. It was moist and delicious, but it was more like a slice of cake than a piece that we really tasted
banana
that banana.
Bread. Mm.
Let's talk about the Woolworths banana bread now, Barb.
Yep.
The Essentials five banana bread slices individually wrapped. This was 25% banana puree, which is a little bit different. $5 again for 500 grams. Mm. What did you? This was a big one, Dennis. I'm not going to lie, Barb got pretty fired up about this one, and it was pretty interesting. Let's talk through what you thought of this one, Barb.
Well, each slice had a doughy bottom.
It was a clear cut sort of line, wasn't it?
And it was
Barb?
Hard. It was quite. I mean, if you were going to toast it, I'd want to cut that off. I'd have to cut that little base of it off.
Barb was pretty ragey about this. I've written down here in my notes, Barb had doughy bottom rage. Because you were pretty angry about it, weren't you, Barb?
Because if you were making that at home, you'd say this is a failure.
You'd throw it out. Not you would throw it out.
You would muck it up. I know.
But you would cut it off.
You'd be very disappointed with it.
Yeah.
So to buy a banana bread with that already on it is just bizarre.
Very noticeable.
Yeah. Yeah.
In terms of the flavour though, Barb?
No, I didn't have much of a banana flavour at all.
Well, it kind of went out the window when you saw a doughy bottom.
See, the really bananas have to be really, really ripe for a good banana bread or cake. And you just wonder, it might have bananas in it, but they mightn't be very ripe.
Yeah, but it was hard getting past the doughy bottom.
Hard. Yeah.
That was a difficult one. Next up, we had the IGA banana bread, individually wrapped, 26% banana, $5 for 500 grams. So they're all the same price, all the same percent, weight. What did you think of this one, Barb?
It looked good.
Yep.
It was a nice looking cake. Not really a nice banana flavour at all.
Yeah.
It had a strange chemically taste.
It did, didn't it?
Yeah. So whether that was the bicarb or the preservatives and different things in it, just not a banana cake. Not at all for bread. I want really banana flavour, and you couldn't. As you say, more cake, but I didn't think it had a good flavour.
It wasn't enjoyable.
It wasn't
as
enjoyable.
Much.
No. Not at all.
And again, guys, when you line them up, it's very telling when you taste one of the after which one has banana, which one doesn't. And of course, the doughy bottom scandal.
Yeah, which was a bit strange.
Barb, tell me, what won the golden trolley?
Well, Amy, it has to be Aldi. Again, good moist dark colour, nice flavour, good banana flavour.
You loved the banana didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you were shutting your eyes, you'd know you were eating a banana bread.
And you just didn't have that feeling with the other ones, did
no,
you?
No, not at all.
You felt more cakey.
Yes. Yeah.
There you go, guys. Clear-cut winner there. And we're not going to talk about doughy bottoms anymore.
No.
Segment 2, Cooking 101 with Barb. This is where you hand over all your years of experience, give us tips and tricks on how to make one thing really, really well. This week, how to make a fabulous stir fry. We all make stir fries, don't we, Barb?
Yes, yes.
Every week, every family around Australia whips up a stir fry.
At least one a week, I reckon, at least.
But it's easy to do some clear things that make it soggy or too much sauce just where you overcook things or the meat's a bit tough.
Overcook the vegetables are a bit soggy.
And sometimes, you know, it's still edible, but there are certain things you can do, can't you, Barb, to make it perfect every single time. Talk me through it.
Yes. First of all, you need to have everything ready before you start.
Yes.
So it's all in preparation.
Yep.
So that might take 15 to 20 minutes, but you need to spend that time preparing it.
Because once you do it, Barb, it's no time at all.
No time. It all just goes in within minutes, and then it's ready to eat. So if you are going to cook your vegetables, again, have everything uniform size. If you're going to have meat, chicken, whether it's beef, it doesn't matter what it is, very thin slices.
Yes.
You often see in recipes you can pop that into the freezer for 20 minutes if you wanted to cut it really wafer thin. But if you've got a good knife, into thin strips. You don't need to. Nice, thin, even slices, not big, thick ones and thin ones. That's when you've got the problem.
I often find when you put it in the freezer, it's a bit too cold and it's a bit too difficult to cut sometimes. It's have a nice sharp knife.
If you're going to marinate it beforehand, which is fine, a little bit of soy or oyster sauce or whatever you want to put on it, when you're ready to cook, you really need to get that out and put it on absorbent kitchen paper to drain it. Because what happens is when you put that in the wok, it stews and all that liquid just splatters and you just end up with a big mess in there.
Water is what you want to avoid, isn't
it?
Yeah,
very much so.
Too much moisture in it.
So pat that dry.
Yep.
Heat the wok. And once you heat that wok with some oil and almost smoking hot, it needs to be really hot, you need to put the meat in say, 250 gram batches or chicken, whatever it is. Don't just stick it all in at once. You just send the heat down. You're not going to brown anything.
And then it will broil.
Yes.
It's like the worst word in the world.
And that's all that water coming out of everything. Do it in small batches. But when you first put the meat in, try and spread it out over the base or up the side of the wok. Leave it for a minute. Don't just get in there with that.
Isn't that the biggest
spoon or
the biggest trap that people get in there and just start spinning it straight away?
And as you'll find, it sort of sits there and it's like it's glued on.
Yeah.
And leave it for a minute, leave it, be patient. And
get
then
that
starts. And it loosens straight away and just all. It's beautiful. What next, Barb?
Reheat the wok between the next batch.
Yep.
Again,
don't
just stick it in. It only takes a minute. It's worth putting that little bit of extra love into it. Once you put the meat in, take that out, put that in a little bowl, and then you start on your vegetables. Put in the firmer ones first.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes what I've been known to do, so just say it was a carrot or broccoli, I actually microwave them for a minute beforehand. I don't want that carrot to be in there 3 hours trying to stir fry it with a capsicum that's ready in 1 minute. So I actually give it a little bit of a head start.
Oh, you're giving it
a little bit of a head start.
Yeah.
So they're just a little bit tender, a minute and a half. And then when I add that to my wok, when I'm ready to start cooking,
it's all systems go.
Barb,
love it.
Throwing those in, Chinese veggies, put the stems in first.
Yes.
Stir fry those for an extra minute just before the lovely green leaves. And snow peas, don't ever cook those. And then you return the meat with any of the cooking juices because there's some lovely flavour in there. And then you pour in your favourite Asian sauce.
I was going to say, when do we add our sauce, Barb?
Yeah,
at the very end.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it'd be, what, a third of a cup, no more?
No more.
You don't need to stick in a quarter cup of water and too much stuff. It just mucks it up.
And then you need
a little bit of sauce for flavour.
Yeah, you just need a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. You really shouldn't be adding corn flour. There shouldn't be that much liquid in it that you need corn flour.
So, Barb, give us your top three tips.
Having uniform vegetables.
Yes.
Definitely cooking your meat in batches.
Yes.
And certainly heating that wok before each time you add anything.
Love it, Barb. I'm learning something just like that. Thanks, Barb.
Thanks, Amy.
This next segment, what's the one thing that happens after you cook? You've got to clean.
Yeah. The cleaning.
The cleaning. And sometimes that
can Everyone abandons you and you're left to it.
Oh, don't they just? I came down the other day, left dinner for the family, went upstairs. It was like, you know, the maid was moving in to clean up afterwards. Thanks, guys.
Maid Amy.
We are now giving you, though, our favourite hacks to cut your kitchen cleaning time in half.
Mm.
I've got a few, Barb.
Yes.
I've done this a few times and I've done it. I read about this on the internet. I saw this on Instagram.
Yep.
And it's actually true. There are people out there who believe that you don't need to use a full dishwashing tablet.
Okay.
When you put your loaded dishwasher on,
right.
That a half a tablet does the same job. So sometimes, especially if it's not a big load or not a particularly dirty load, I will cut the dishwashing tablet in half, throw that in the dishwasher. It does a perfect job.
Wow.
So you don't
That's
always
a good one.
And I know it's not a lot, but you know. A little, they can be expensive and it can add up. And
I'm
again,
all for that, Amy.
If you don't have a big load or if it's just a few things.
Yes, I know.
And it's not particularly dirty. Obviously, if you've got a lasagna dish in there, you've got to go guns blazing, baby. But try the half a dishwashing tablet.
That's great.
It does work
I've
well.
I've got to try it.
The other thing I do with my dishwashing tablets, and I read about this the other day and I did it and it worked. Now, we've all got those old crusty baking trays that have.
Yes.
They've gone through the wars, haven't they, Barb?
Yes. Or even oven-proof dishes.
Oh,
it's just stuck on.
And they build up and they build up and they're nothing like they were when you bought them. Like my oven dishes, they're pretty rank. What they suggest doing it is filling up a sink with warm water, adding a dishwashing tablet or a couple of capfuls of powder, and you leave them in there to soak overnight. I'm telling you, Barb, the next morning, make sure you put some gloves off because it can be quite toxic. You rub it with the slightest bit of pressure. I'm talking just running a cloth over.
Wow.
It comes off like magic.
That's great.
It is amazing.
I'm going to try that though.
Because we've all got those old ones and even the new ones. It's hard to get some of the
Pyrex sort of glassware. They'd work brilliantly on that.
What do you do, Barb? Give me some of your
Amy,
tips.
I'm a bit like you. I like to save a dollar as well.
Oh.
Yeah. So what I do is actually buy the cheap dishwashing liquid.
Yes.
You pay a lot. You can pay a lot for the concentrated ones.
Yes.
But then when I wash, I tend to just squirt in on the bowls I'm washing up. So I'm not filling a sink. I'm a little bit wastage. I don't fill a sink with water.
Yeah.
And then go half a teaspoon of squirt. I'm just squirting it on. I've go through those little bottles like no tomorrow. So what I did was I bought the cheapest dishwashing liquid and I bought a sauce squeezy bottle.
What you normally put your tomato sauce in.
Little pointed lid, take the little cap off it. So I put a third of a cup of dishwashing liquid in that and two-thirds water.
And you use that
shake,
instead.
And I just squirt that on everything.
So if you if you're just cleaning out a pan or a saucepan or
great, rinsing out a glass,
you just add that.
The cat bowl. Oh, so much better.
Well, you'd
so
save a lot better. Of money and a lot of dishwashing. And it's for me, it's the money, but it's also just the shopping.
Sometimes picking up those big bottles of detergent, they're hard to hold.
Yeah, and it really is easy to use too much, isn't it?
Yeah, very much so. And the other thing I've been doing is I have a vegetable. It's like a vegetable crisper.
Mm-hmm.
Like a big plastic tub with a lid on it.
Right.
For my fridge. And it has a rack in the bottom of it. So what I do is put all my vegetables in it. So cauliflower, broccoli, whatever, the Brussels that you hate, carrots. Put the lid on and that is my vegetable tub. But what happens is, again, after a while, the little rack goes, it can go mouldy if you leave things in there, even within a week. The moisture comes out of the vegetables and sends it a bit greeny looking. So what I do is I put about 10 cups of water in it and then I allow a teaspoon of bleach.
Yeah.
Bleach. So put that in, cleans it. So leave that for about 30 minutes, cleans it beautifully. Take
Perfect.
That out, wash it.
Because crispers are a bit hard,
it kills
aren't they?
The bacteria, yeah. It kills the mold in it or anything else in it. They are. They get really dirty, I find.
And I find they're hard to clean out because of the ridges at the bottom.
Ridges,
and
exactly. You need like a little toothbrush thing. But put in this
Ken's
little bit of bleach
toothbrush.
In. And yes. And it's great for soaking plastic chopping boards. So if you've got white ones that stain from tomatoes and whatever, put them in this tiny little bit of bleach in water. You don't need a lot.
And then you just wash it down with some soapy
water
after.
Let it dry properly.
I love that bath.
Yeah. Good old bleach. Who would have thought?
Who would have thought? And you're a big fan of cleaning with vinegar as well, aren't you, Barb?
Yeah, vinegar's great. Bicarb and vinegar, really good, yeah. They're also good for boards, scrubbing them down.
Love it, Barb. We'll have to buy some bleach, bicarb. People will think I'm murdering someone, but that's okay. Love it. Barb, this is a new segment. This is where you get to impart your knowledge about a couple of things on our listening audience because you're like an encyclopedia of of food knowledge, aren't you?
Yeah.
Your brain is busting with facts on food, am I right? It's a beautiful mental image. Barb's Did You Know? Barb, you're going to teach us all about what today?
Citrus rind in particular.
You love a bit of citrus rind, don't you, Barb?
I love it. I suppose because I've got a huge tree and hundreds of lemons. There's only so much you can use it. But citrus imparts such a beautiful flavour to dishes.
And it's more than just the juice, isn't it, Barb? You get so much more out of the skin and everything.
Absolutely.
Talk us through it, Barb.
Well, the citrus rind's a great way to add a lot of flavour to a dish, both sweet and savoury, because of the essential oils in the skin. This is where the real flavour is. So if you grate the rind, you can rub it over lamb before cooking, chicken pieces over fish, salmon, whatever, the rind will add more flavour than juice.
Yeah.
And so a little goes a long way, but the real powerhouse is actually in the skin of it, not the juice itself. So what I tend to do is grate it onto a piece of plastic wrap on a chopping board and then you can kind of gather up the plastic. It's easier to clean, keep it off, and then you can store it in the fridge or use it straight away if you're going to use it.
And it's great for desserts as well, isn't it, Barb?
Beautiful whipped cream.
Yeah.
Pavlovas, fruit sauces.
Cheesecake.
Lots of things. Cheesecake. Oh. Yeah, a lot of things have rind in. Delicious. And you grate it on the finest little hole of the grater, or like a box grater.
And you don't want to get too much white in there, do you, Barb?
No. Yeah. Or a little microplane.
Yeah.
Well, it's actually quite hard to grate the white part. So all the recipes say don't grate it. It's almost impossible to grate.
If you do it properly, it's very difficult.
Which is great. So as I said, you can freeze those. But what you need to know is how long, because a lot of recipes will say a teaspoon of lemon rind or 2 teaspoons. How many oranges do I buy? I'm never sure. I don't want to buy 3. I only need
that
little
bit of rind.
It's a good
point, Barb, isn't it?
So
no one's ever told me how much rind you're going to get from one piece of fruit. Talk
having,
me through a
having gone through this personally, an orange will yield 2 teaspoons of finely grated rind. Now, obviously, if you're using the large hole on the box grater, you might get 3 teaspoons.
Yeah.
They're really fine, but this is what you want. You don't want to be pulling pieces of rind out of your mouth when you're eating a dish. The really fine one's the best. A lemon will yield 1.5 teaspoons of finely grated lemon rind.
Yep.
And a lime will yield 1 teaspoon.
Well, a lime's a little smaller.
They're tiny,
isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
So that makes sense.
Yeah. It's just honestly the perfect way to add some flavour to a juice. So if you're even juicing it, what we do is always grate the rind off before you do the juice.
And it makes it so much easier. And it's,
totally,
it's so much easier to juice a rindless when it's, you're taking the skin off, isn't
it? Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yes, yes.
Amazing. Thanks, Barb.
Pleasure, Amy.
You're our citrus queen. I mean that with all great love and respect. Barb, it's been a long time since I've thrown you in the hot seat, but here you are. This, of course, guys, is where I ask Barb 10 random questions.
I'm shaking, Amy.
You don't like it because Barb loves to be organised. Barb loves to know what's going on. She writes so many notes for these podcasts, guys. She literally researched the living bum out of it, don't you, Barb?
I do. I do.
The doughy bottom out of it. But she hates this because she has no idea what I'm going to ask her.
No.
And it's never that scary, is it, Barb?
No.
Poor old.
We get through it.
Question number one. If you could only eat sweet or savoury for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Savoury.
Me too.
Yeah.
Give me a spring roll any day.
Cheese. Yeah, spring roll, sausage roll. Mm.
You're sitting in bed with hubby because I know that you and Ken do this. Barb and Ken, they love sitting down, propped up in bed with your cat in the middle. What's his name? Her name?
Pixie.
Pixie. And you've got your snacks and you're watching TV. What are your go-to snacks, Barb?
Number one are Twisties.
Yeah, you love a Twisty, don't you? And your cat loves Twisties,
doesn't
it?
And the cat loves Twisties. We have to share them with Pixie. She loves some Twisties. Corn chips.
Yes.
I like the sea salt chips. And Ken likes the Smith's crisps.
Oh, you can't go past a Smith's crisp either.
See, I prefer, I think mine are the Red Rock Deli.
Yeah, you like
I just like a salty, thin crispy.
Yeah.
And then at the end of that,
yeah,
we can end up eating an ice cream.
What's your favourite ice cream, Barb?
I quite like the paddle pop, rainbow paddle pop.
A rainbow paddle pop. That's the greatest thing I've ever heard in my life.
They're so good.
This cooking and food extraordinaire loves a rainbow paddle. It gives you a nice caramel flavour, isn't it, Barb?
They're beautiful.
I'm done. I'm literally done. I have 8 more questions, but I'm finishing there because that's amazing. What is the most memorable recipe you've ever put in your idea? What's the one that you always remember?
Gee, Amy. Gee, that's a bit hard, memorable. But there have been so many of them.
There have been so many.
Probably sausage rolls.
Yeah.
We've done some amazing sausage rolls.
And every time I put sausage rolls up on newideafood.com.au.
Half the company. Every company function. We're ever making sausage
we
rolls.
We do, guys. We have whenever we have a function, we ask the test kitchen to make stuff for us, and the most requested thing is always the sausage rolls. They love them. Now, when you go to the supermarket, Barb, do you prefer the self-checkout or a traditional checkout? This is a very, very contentious issue.
Amy, it is. Traditional.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do my head in the self-serve, to be honest. Because if you don't put the bag on the right side, it says
it's easy
food's
to
in
get
the bagging
the bad
area.
Mood.
I'm so confused. I have to call that poor person over, assistant, 20,000 times, but I'm doing it.
It puts you in a bad mood, doesn't
it? It does. And I'm one of those people, I don't go in and buy 2 things. I buy 200.
Yeah.
I go in with 8 bags. I'm only going in for 3 things, but I take 8 bags because I look, and if I see things on special, I'll buy 3 of them.
And if especially if you're doing a lot of vegetables, having to go through and weigh them and this and that and unexpected item in there.
Trying to find out what sort of mandarin it was called.
So, Barb, you're campaigning quite heavily for a traditional checkout.
Have a little bit of a chat to them. It's great.
The 3 things that are always in your fridge, Barb.
Gee, Amy, there's a lot of things in my fridge.
You could literally live like
if you could live for a year in my fridge.
You could live in a year in fridge. But what do you always get a bit nervous if you're a bit low down on?
Cheese,
yep.
Yeah, cheese is certainly go-to. Has to be wine.
Yep. Oh, Barb, I love you.
I just like to have that wine in there. But the next thing, probably milk.
Yeah, it's good.
Always have milk.
Now, Barb, I know that you love a bargain. I know that you are always looking for a markdown. You're always looking for a saving. But what's the one thing that you're happy to pay top dollar for? That you always more is best with you?
Probably cordial.
Oh.
Yes.
You love a cordial, do you?
Yeah. There's a really lovely lime Bickford's.
I know that one.
It's the best
in
lime
summer.
Flavored.
There is
like
nothing
drinking in winter too. That and soda water. It's delicious.
Yeah.
So I will pay premium.
Yep. What do you think that you can just always buy the cheapest with, Barb, though? Where do you think that you can always, it doesn't matter if it's cheap or expensive?
Yeah, that's a good one too. Cheap. I do like my brands.
Yeah.
It's hard with that, Damie. Yeah. I'm struggling.
Now, Barb, let's just say you've gone shopping. You've maxed out the credit card. You've gone a bit nuts. You've bought yourself a new coat, new shoes, new handbag, whatever. And you're thinking, oh, Ken's not going to be too happy about this. Not that you. What's a meal that you're going to cook up to impress Ken, that you want to get in his good books and you want to really wow him?
Yep.
What's the one meal?
That he would love a burger.
I've
been making burgers for that man since I met him. He loves a good burger. Bacon, the fried egg, the works, the caramelized onion.
Barb, who's the spunkiest politician in Australia?
I mean, I don't think they've been
really?
Born yet, have they?
Really? I used to always have a thing for Paul Keating. I used to think he was pretty hot. Mm, no one?
No.
Oh, on that one. Not one person. No one holds a flame to Ken, does it?
No.
Ken and his burgers. Barb, your last question.
Wait for it.
And we're done. Have you ever cooked in the nude?
Yes. Yes.
You have?
I did.
Why? How? When?
When I first met Ken, he had his own apartment and then I decided to make him lunch. So I'd come with the clothes the night before and I didn't want to put the good ones on, so I didn't really have anything else to put on.
But
so
I've never been more impressed in my whole life. I knew a girl, one of my friends once, she cooked in the nude to impress her boyfriend, but there was an unfortunate incident with oil splatter.
Oh, yes.
Let's just end that there. You were wiser than that, though, weren't you, Barb?
I was.
Well, I was not expecting that, Barb. I couldn't be more impressed.
There you go, Amy.
My little, let's have Nude Tuesday in the test kitchen next week. I don't know what HR would say about that, but I'm happy to give it a whirl. Thank you for joining us for Nude Trolley Watch this week, guys. It has been a cracker. We've loved having you with us. Don't forget to rate and subscribe to us where you find all good podcasts, and you can always come say hi on social media, New Idea Food or Foodiful on Facebook, and you can check out all of Barb's fabulous recipes on newideafood.com.au. Thank you, Barb.
Thanks, Amy.
We're going to whip off our clothes and head and do a bit of cooking. Couldn't be more excited.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.